Now we're going to have the final word from Bildad. That is from the three friends. And fortunately, it's very brief. And I think that light's beginning to dawn on Bildad. And the light is simply this. And you'll note it in this discourse. He says to himself, he's very thoughtful now. And he was that kind of a man. He's an intelligent man. He says, if Job is guilty, why doesn't he break under all of this bombardment of argument that we've given to him? He still maintained his integrity. He stood up against it. Now, if down underneath, if there had been some rotten spot, if there had been a rotten apple in the barrel, why hasn't it come out in all of this? And this man, of course, goes back to the very basic philosophy of his life, and that is, he's a traditionalist. When I was young, we've been doing it this way for 1,000 years, so why do we want to change it? And that God follows certain laws. That is, he's the scientist who pours it in the test tube and says, see, that's what happens every time. He says, look here under the microscope. This is a law, and you can't change it. And the law of God is he'll punish sinners. But why doesn't Job break under this if he's the guilty sinner? And now, let's listen. It's a very brief argument, and he's making it brief because, actually, he recognizes that he hasn't anything now to offer at all. And you sometimes wish that some folk today, I feel like that there are certain men, both theologians and scientists today, that speak so learnedly about the creation of the earth and what God did under certain circumstances and what God must do. And this is the way it must have been 2 billion years ago. Now, my friend, you may kid other folk. You may drive it into the minds of the young today and have them brainwashed. And we got a brainwashed generation today. But you're listening to one of the biggest skeptics that you've ever heard of. I don't believe you. I don't think you know. And this gross assumption of knowledge is not justified today of what took place 2 billion years ago. My friend, when you don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow, what makes you such an authority on what happened 2 billion years ago? I think you're kidding somebody. I think that you put on a white jacket and pince-nez glasses and you speak ex cathedra and the world listens. My friend, I noticed if they want to sell a toothpaste today or they want to sell a mouthwash or a shampoo, there are only two ways of doing it. One is by sex. The other is by showing a laboratory with a scientist looking through a bunch of boiling acid in test tubes. And he speaks very learnedly. And everybody says that must be true because he's got on that white coat. And he is an authority on this. Now, may I say to you, that may sell toothpaste, but it's not going to sell me on how the world began. And this fellow Bildad, I'll admit these men are smart. I'll admit they're intelligent. But they are brainwashing folk, and they're not, my friend, telling the truth. Now listen to this man Bildad. And he goes back to the creation, by the way. All of them do. They go back and profess a knowledge. Even these young theologians today, I just get a little weary of them. They know exactly what Genesis, the first chapter, means. Do you? Do you really know? I think that if Moses was here today and could hear some of the things that are spoken, I think he'd smile. And he says, my, how those boys have learned since I wrote that. They seem to know more than I knew about it. And I think Moses knew a great deal more than we give him credit for also. Now, let me read this. Then answered Bildad the Shuhite and said, dominion and fear are with him. He maketh peace in his high places. You see, he has an exalted notion of God, and it's good. He says, is there any number of his armies? And upon whom doth not his light arise? And actually, I think the better translation would be, whom doth not his light surpass? In other words, God is the supreme one. Now, he goes on in verse 4, how then can man be justified with God? Or how can he be clean that's born of a woman? Now, he's asked a good question. In fact, this is the question he should have asked at the beginning, because he so far hasn't given the answer to it. And he's asked the right questions, but he doesn't have the right answers. He says, behold, even to the moon, and it shineth not. Yea, the stars are not pure in his sight. And they're finding out today that the moon is a pretty dirty thing up there, covered with dust and dirt, volcanic ash. Just not, my friend, a nice place to have a picnic. And it's not as romantic up there as it is down here when you're out with your girl for the first time. And also, Mars seems to be a pretty dirty place also. You and I live in a universe today, friends, that seems to be in a mess, by the way. The stars are not pure in his sight. How much less man that is a worm, and the Son of Man, which is a worm. Now, those that don't like that, but I like it. I think that's what we are. They talk today about that we've come from a worm. We haven't come from a worm, friends. We are a worm. That's what we are now in God's sight. Now, how can a man that is born of a woman, how can he be clean in God's sight? That's the question. It's a good question. It's a supreme question. But they didn't have the answer to this question, by the way. And only Jesus Christ has the answer to that question. I see this little sign up quite a bit today. And that is this. Jesus is the answer. Personally, I resent seeing that, because my point is, what's the question? Now, if your question is, how can a man be clean in God's sight? Then Jesus is the answer to that. But if your question is, how can I get a ticket to the Rose Bowl game? He's not the answer to that question. I really don't think he's the answer to that question. But if you want to know how a man that's born of a woman, a man that's unclean, that David had to say, in sin did my mother conceive me, how am I going to be clean in God's sight?